The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman are on assignment and will be returning to us soon. Good morning.
Good morning. It was very nice out this morning, but it was
overcast.
Yeah.
It was not clear at my house, but it was pleasant enough.
Last night, though, very nice and clear out.
I didn't.
You didn't go lock up chickens, did
you?
No, did you?
No. I walked out of the bowling alley to my car. So,
and there was probably more ambient light there than at my house.
Yeah, probably so.
Very, very nice. It's been a great week. Beautiful, clear, sunny, warm week. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who have been concerned about the bee activity, I think the bees had a good week as well.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's good.
And but we're expecting a change.
Yeah, it's like between Sunday and Monday, there's supposed to be like a 15-degree temperature drop. So that's pretty significant.
I'd kind of prefer it on Sunday because that's usually the day I'm out working in the yard trying to catch up. And I'd prefer it be 60 or 70 on Sunday rather than 80. But, you know.
Well, just shift your work. You're off on Monday. Just shift your work over.
I could. Yeah. I could. And I might. Or I might have enough to do both days, which is probably more like it.
You know, we did. I hosted driveway happy hour on Thursday night, and we actually brought out the fire pit for it. And it wasn't. It's not that it was that cold, but there was just enough of a chill in the air that the fire pit made a nice
made
difference.
It nice.
Yeah, it made it, and it had some ambiance to it as well.
Oh, very, so, very, very nice.
Yeah.
Just for those of you listening who are concerned, Driveway Happy Hour is a walkthrough process.
It is
right?
A walk-up process.
It's not a drive-through.
It is not a. There no cars are involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure we got that out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It has been really nice during the day, but there is just enough chill, and I'm guessing that's because we are. How do you say it in English? Older.
That's probably it.
Because we would have been in shorts and T-shirts. Just a few years
just
ago,
few years
and it wouldn't,
ago.
Have, wouldn't have bothered.
I wouldn't have been sitting there with my jacket on.
Yeah. Somebody was making fun of me yesterday because I had on long sleeves and short pants.
Yeah, that sounds like Mark's attire pretty much every day. Anyway, we have classes today in both stores. And wait a minute, what am I looking at here?
Hey,
San Diego.
You promised.
It's Bonsai Basics with Richard. And in Poway at 9:30, it's Fertilizer Basics with Richard Wright. Bonsai class is interesting in San Diego because after the bonsai class, you can go up to Balboa Park where the Bonsai Society is having their annual show and sale.
Perfect lead-in, a prequel, if you will.
Yeah. So that once again, Bonsai Basics at 9 o'clock in San Diego, and Fertilizer Basics at 9:30.
And those are two different Richards, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Richard Wright is in Poway. Let's see. Next weekend, May 5th, we're already in May, which is, well, the Friday, May 5th, that's Cinco de Mayo.
I was going to tell you that.
Yeah, we have no classes on Cinco de Mayo.
I was going to ask you about that as well.
Just celebrate Cinco de Mayo. May 6th, however, we do have classes in both stores. In San Diego, it's going to be Tomatoes 101 with Josh, and in that's at 9 o'clock. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's how to grow prize pumpkins with Jim Fredericks, who is he's a champion pumpkin grower.
Have you seen the picture of the pumpkin he grew?
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Yes,
they're huge.
Now, I'm just thinking about the water in that one pumpkin, what that cost.
Well, and it's limited seating in that. On that class?
Well, it's limited.
Guaranteed
seating. I think guaranteed seating for 75 chairs. Yeah. But we're expecting a big turnout, and there's going to be, I think there's going to be some giveaways and raffles and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah. I remember, he's not the one that offered to bring, it was like a 1,500 pound pumpkin.
No, that was Tom.
Because
what do we do with it?
We got 1,500 pounds of rotten pumpkin we got to get rid of.
Oh God! So, no, it takes care of itself, but it's just disgusting as it happens.
Well, I know, but you still got to get rid of it.
It'll just melt into the ground over a multi-week period.
But we were going to put it on the apron out front.
That
would have been bad.
Yes, very.
Yeah,
very.
So let's see, and then over to May 13th. In San Diego, it's going to be worm composting with Kathleen, and in Poway, it's going to be aquatic plants with John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. So, all interesting stuff coming up. And then, as I mentioned, in Balboa Park this weekend, the 29th and 30th, it's a bonsai show and sale from the San Diego Bonsai Society. Next weekend, the 5th, 6th, and 7th, it's the San Diego Iris Society show and sale. Which should be pretty interesting, I would imagine. They have some interesting stuff.
You know, they have called us the last couple of years in advance of their sale, and we've talked about going because they've told us about some specialty irises that we've never had. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
And
I may have.
Promises made, promises broken.
Yeah.
All right.
19th, 20th, and 21st, it's the San Diego Geranium Society show and sale. And to round out the end of the month, the 26th, 27th, and 28th, it's the Southern California Plumeria Society cutting sale. So if you want to get some plumeria cuttings for your collection, that would probably be a good way to spend.
Where should they go before that sale to find some specialty plumeria cuttings, Ken?
You can come to... I know the Poway store has them.
Just
the Poway store?
Yeah.
We have six
varieties.
Yeah, six varieties. Beautiful flowers.
Imported from Brazil. Yeah. These are not just your everyday average plumeria cuttings. These are specialty ones all the way from Brazil.
And they're nice looking.
They're nice good, looking cuttings. Healthy cuttings. They're big cuttings. Yeah.
And the flower colors are really nice as well. So you can... swing by and pick some of those up if you would like. They're easy to grow. I mean,
very. And now's the time as the weather's warming up. Of course, we're coming into the cool weekend. We talked about it cooling down, but did we talk about what that might tell us is coming up?
Rain?
Yes.
Yeah, more rain late next week, I think.
Wednesday, Thursday, right now is what they're saying. And somewhere around a half an inch, which would be very nice.
Yeah.
I've noticed things are drying out at home, and some of the weeds are starting to die. It'd be nice to give them a shot of rain and extend them a little bit.
Yeah, I actually turned my sprinklers back on for the first time since December.
Forever. Yeah, I watered a couple of some of the trees right alongside the driveway because they get extra heat from the driveway. And I had another good week of gopher hunting.
Oh, good.
Yes. I got two with water and two with traps. So big, big, big week. And I've missed a couple. I was up at Dad's house trying to flood them out three days now. Fail, fail, fail. But they keep refilling the hole, so I know I'm failing. I'm not drowning them in the hole.
They're not just staying down there.
No, and I noticed the same thing at home, plus some new mounds at home where I thought I had cleared out an area. So I get to go back and do some more.
Get some more. Yeah, I went out and planted up some tomatoes last weekend using 20-gallon pots. And then a friend of mine who shops at the store, he said he had switched over to growing all of his vegetables in 20-gallon pots, and he puts a couple of cinder blocks underneath of them. And he said that raises them up so you don't have to lean over so far to get into them. And then I ran an irrigation, kind of drilled a hole in the middle of them, ran an irrigation pipe up through the middle, and then put a bubbler in it so that it's now all part of the sprinkler system, and it automatically waters so nothing's going to dry out and look terrible like it does when I'm trying to water it by hand. But I got it all set up, went to adjust it, turned on the system, and I walk out to where the vegetable garden is, and I look over in the corner, and it looks just like the Beverly Hillbilly that's up from the ground come a bubbling crude. So I got a broken pipe.
Okay. So you turned it on. I set it all up. Yeah. The water's not getting there.
No, the water's getting there, but it's also bubbling up out of the ground where the broken pipe is.
Bubbling crude.
Yeah. So I've got that to deal with now.
All right.
Too.
Well, now I have a very important question. I'm gonna put you on the spot. What did you fill your 20-gallon container with?
Soil wiser.
Yes. Yes.
Recipe 420.
Good stuff. I used lots of nutrients.
I used it last year and had very good luck with it.
Regular or the Bang?
The regular.
Okay. Yeah. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Yeah.
We've had really good luck with the Bang 420 with all the potting we have done.
Yeah, the roses love it. They really do well in it.
What did you plant? I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well, actually, I did.
Melanie picked a couple of them. She picked a couple of them out. I think we'd put in San Marzano, Early Girl, Champion. I don't remember if I did it.
You didn't put any of Grandma's Celebrities in?
No, I did not.
You're going to have to.
I don't know.
You have to. Otherwise,
I probably should.
The tomato ghosts of past will come and visit you in your sleep, and you don't want that.
Come and haunt me.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll grab one on Monday when I'm
back in the office. I finally got mine planted. The tomatoes that George and I purchased, about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
I finally got them in the ground, and it's taken them a week, but they're starting to look good. They look much better than they did when they were still sitting in their six-packs for an extra month. But I saved money.
Yeah, I guess so. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross.
And David Ross,
George and Mark are on assignment.
And hopefully they're listening this morning. I'd be asleep, yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd be in bed if I wasn't here, that's for sure. All the roses in both stores are still on sale at 30% off. We have a very good selection of roses at both stores.
I was noticing yesterday the selection of tree roses has dramatically decreased. Yes. There are very few tree roses left.
I was walking out through the shade house yesterday, and I noticed the Japanese maples this time of the year just are spectacular. They are absolutely amazing. And for you East Coast transplants that miss them, we have peonies in stock, the Ito hybrid peonies from Monrovia Nursery, which will actually naturalize here.
They do very well here.
It's the only one that I know of that will. And I remember it used to be we would bring peonies in the springtime, and we would sell them as annuals.
Very expensive annuals.
But these should, with the proper care, these should naturalize and come back year after year. And they look beautiful right now. They don't have any flowers on them, but they are budded. So if you would like
they
to
are very them. Expensive perennials.
Yes.
But they're gorgeous. And, you know, Mary has peonies in Rancho Santa Fe, and one would think that it's too mild there. It's too coastal. Mm-hmm. And they've come back. This is what their third year they're coming back, second or third, and they do very well all over the county here.
Mm-hmm.
And don't need that winter chill and don't have to be treated as annuals.
That is true. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head up to get the mouse working.
It's over there.
Okay, there we go. We're going to head up to Ramona where Rob is waiting. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Fine. How are you guys?
We're doing well. What's up?
Well, I'm going to be mulching my trees, my fruit trees in Ramona this morning. I've got a big pile of mulch and decomposed, it's like mulch, but a lot of it's from... we had a giant Torrey pine, and we had collected the needles and take them up to Ramona a lot. So it's got the decomposed pine needles in it. And will that be okay to use for mulching?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. I'd seen something on, I don't even remember what it was, but they were talking about pine straw back east and what a huge market that is, where they just go through the pine forests and the Carolinas and pick up the pine needles and commercially package it and sell it. It's a multi-billion dollar operation back there.
And I think it would be better if you had other ingredients in there, but by itself it'll still do the job of insulating and cooling and do what you need it to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, it has other stuff in there, too.
Oh, then I think
perfect.
You're in good shape. The other thing to be careful of, too, is if it's predominantly pine needles, they can be slippery when you're walking on them. So you just want to be aware of that.
Definitely got to be careful not to fall on my butt.
Yeah.
Can I ask another quick question?
Of course.
So we want to be doing more gardening up there, and I wanted to be making my own... by gardening dirt, not making the dirt, but you know what I mean, like making a mixture of it. So do you have any advice on how to do that? Like what is there a way to, but rather than having to buy potting dirt?
For potting soil, for container growing, or for amending and planting in the ground?
Well, for both, but a lot of it will be container gardening because the gophers are just totally out of control. And we got the squirrels under control with the squirrelinators, and I'm thinking of getting the rodent blaster for the gophers. But for now, if you grow anything in the ground, except for trees, and the gophers will get it.
If it's primarily going to be containers that you're growing in, I think I would go ahead and make the investment and buy a good container potting soil, just because.
It's a science, and you're going to have
very consistent results with it. If you're trying to make your own, there's going to be a lot of variables that go into it that you're not going to be able to control that well. So I think if it was me, I would make the investment and buy a good reputable bagged potting soil, or Edna's Best, or the Recipe 420. Either of those would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, as far as planting in the ground is concerned, what I would do is I would start composting and just keep a good system of composting going, so that you can get the organic material that's broken down and just mix that in with the existing soil when you're doing planting in the ground.
Yeah, no, we compost a lot up there, and the trick I found is pile it all up and then keep it wet.
Yeah, keep it wet.
The water miracles.
Yeah, keep some water in it, keep it moist, and also add a starter compost to it to get things going.
There,
yeah.
The square foot gardening recipe was 1/3 compost, your own or bagged, 1/3 vermiculite, and 1/3 peat moss. So if you wanted to make your own mix, you could start with 30% of that being your own compost. But otherwise, it has to hold moisture, it has to be porous and let air through it. And even the best soils in the ground, if you put them into a container or into a raised bed, are going to compact so that the moisture and air don't get through it and your plants aren't going to do well. So it's critically important that mixture be done correctly or you will fail miserably.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. It's got to drain well.
Yeah.
Work. And the soil's so dense compared to potting soil. But the thing with the potting soil, if you do very much of it, it gets expensive. You know, it's those bags aren't cheap, like Edna's and the 420 and all that. I mean, it adds up really quick.
Yeah.
Now, so doing a lot of it, and I have all this ground, so, I see both ways. The trick on the doing it, if we're making our own, is to find good places, good sourcing for the perlite and the vermiculite. So you can buy it affordably.
Yeah, we have, well, vermiculite's been
ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Trying to get a hold of it. But we have a relatively good supply of it right now. But perlite we have in 4-cubic-foot bags, which is probably the most economical way to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing too is if you're using a brand name potting soil in containers, you don't have to throw it out at the end of the season. You can take the plants out after they've produced and then just amend it for the next season, and you can get a few seasons out of it. And then after a certain point, you can just go take and use that stuff as a planting mix in your yard and then start over again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't get, I know, like with tomatoes, right? You don't want to be reusing it because it gets the nematodes in the soil or something.
Well, in a container, in container plants, you're not going to have especially if they're raised, you're not going to have a nematode problem. The nematodes are typically in the existing soil. If you use the ones that I just put up, they're 20 gallon pots. Recipe 420, I put some tomatoes in them, but I put the pots up on top of cinder blocks so that they're separated away from the soil, where I did at one point have some nematode issues. So I'm not expecting to have any nematode issues with them raised off the soil.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you're going to go that route, go completely that route, not have any contact with the soil at all.
Yeah, plus
it's a vector to bring stuff up.
Yeah, it also raises them up so you don't have to lean over so far when you're working in the garden.
Old man tip number three.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's even a young man, you know, you don't want to be bending over the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much nicer. Hey, well, thank you so much. You guys have so much good information.
Well, thanks for calling. You have a great weekend.
I was just over at the Walter Andersons yesterday. It was so many plants are in bloom. It's incredible.
Yeah, this is the time of year for that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, beautiful nursery.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
And thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
Okay, hey, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You know, we started that conversation about compost, mm-hmm. and the older and wiser I get, the more I believe that is one of the greatest keys to success of planting anything in the ground is compost. And there are many discussions, arguments, disagreements about whether you should be amending the soil first and mixing compost in, which I always do and always will, mm-hmm. regardless of what even people whom I respect say. But adding it over the top to insulate the soil, to keep the worms and all the beneficial organisms healthy and happy, bless you, it's critically important. And helps the plants to take care of themselves. So that insulation layer is helping to feed the plants. It's helping to keep the moisture in the soil so you don't have to water as often. It stabilizes everything. and just keeps that growing condition going, which
is the key to success.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a Facebook page for gardening and houseplants in Scripps Ranch, and some friends of ours have a huge backyard orchard, and they do a lot of composting, and they also do worm composting. And she took a video of their worm composter, and they had put some look like slices of apple in just on the surface, and she'd reach in and pick up the slice of apple, and it's solid worms. I mean, unbelievable amount of worms, and the can of worms,
yes,
composter. That's what that's what they're using, and they get a lot of compost out of it. It's pretty amazing.
I have an area in the yard. The worms are another part of that key to success, because they're consuming the organic matter and they're pooping out worm castings, mm-hmm, and feeding your soil and feeding the organism. They're doing the yeoman's work.
Yeah.
And I have an area where when it used to flood on my property where the soil would settle. And then I've added clippings and chicken manure and the shavings from the chickens. And that whole area has become a worm farm. And it's a big chunk of it is just worm castings, as long as I keep it moist. You know, and when we have extended periods of drought and I don't water it down, then I croak all of the worms that I...
They don't just burrow deep.
Well, they'll... Maybe. Oh. I mean, at some point, yes. I'm sure they go down further, but I just don't know how many of them survive. But I have to keep it watered this year.
The other benefit of worm castings, too, is that they can be a deterrent for whitefly.
They do... Worm castings and worms do so many great things for the soil and the plants. They're aerating, they're feeding, they're preventing insects and disease, and the increased vigor of the plants helps them to take care of themselves.
That it does. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. Mark and George are off.
Guess what?
What?
Well, George is listening.
Well,
I'm
not sure why, but
sorry to say. He should be sleeping. But he gave me permission to say that worms are part of continuing microbial activity. That's his phrase in the soil. And he just sent me a text telling me I'm really, 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 really smart. Let me read it to you. Worms have played a more important part in the history of the world than most persons would at first suppose. Do you know who said that?
No.
Charles Darwin. And that's basically what I said right before the break, which would put me on par with Charles Darwin mentally.
Mentally?
Capacity. Thank you.
Okay. And
you're just going to let that go?
I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
We were talking during the break. What were we going to talk about?
Microbial activity, the worms. Oh, you mean, what did we just say? Oh, we should talk about that when we come back? Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, it is a great question.
Too bad neither of us was paying attention.
No.
Hey, George, what were we talking about in the break? Oh, wait, you're not here.
you know, now that the weather is starting to warm up. Oh, I know what it was. Oversaturation.
Oh, I agree. That is what we were talking about.
Yeah. And we had a pretty good example, two good examples of it in the Poway store in the parking lot. The soil and the native soil in Poway is at our location is horrible.
Awful. It's clay held, or big rocks, river rock held together with heavy clay.
With heavy clay. And we planted a huge grafted gardenia in the parking lot. And at first it was doing okay. And then the rain started coming in and it started defoliating and acting like a gardenia that was overwatered. So we went and pulled it out with the forklift, and half of the, it was probably in, was it a 20 gallon container that it was in, or it was a
20 or 25. Yes.
Yeah. It was a big pot. We pulled it out of the ground, and half of the hole that it was planted in was full of water. Yeah. So it just sat there and in the water, and it didn't like it.
It declined. It drowned the roots, so it looked like it wasn't getting any water.
And we've since put it back in a raised planter, and it's starting to come back slowly.
It's suffering.
Yeah.
When we planted the citrus in the parking lot, I was worried because
it's bad
clay.
Yeah.
But it's been so dry for so long.
Yeah.
It's done really well.
It has. There's one lime tree on the west side that...
Downhill from the gardenia.
Just downhill from the gardenia that was really suffering. And you and I were out in the parking lot yesterday talking to a vendor, and he was parked right next to it. And I looked over, and the majority of it still looks like it's suffering, but there's huge flushes of new growth. And new branches. I mean, not just foliage on the existing branches, but new branches coming off of it. So it is starting to come back. But
I'm surprised that didn't kill it completely. And it's kind of heartening to see, and it broadens my understanding of where citrus can be grown. It's certainly not ideal in the soil we have at the nursery, but it survives. And even during a wet winter, it suffered. Those leaves started drooping, looking like. It looked like it was drought stressed. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't know that we'd had one of the greatest winter's rains in history this last winter, and hadn't seen the water standing just uphill from it, it would have looked like it wasn't getting enough water.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's it happens so infrequently that you kind of forget that oversaturation is a thing, and when it does rain like it has this winter, that's when you start to see it again. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going out to San Carlos where Art is waiting. Good morning, Art. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I have a navel orange tree in my side yard, kind of between the two houses, and over the years, it's been there something over 50 years. It's a dwarf orange, so it isn't too big. And I use it to, right now I'm using it to make orange juice. And a few years ago, I had to take out my Valencia because of some disease it caught. And I used to use Valencia to make the orange, and it always had the nice thin skin and peel didn't, and it was nice thin skin. The navel had a real thick skin, and a big bump in the bottom. And anyway, so now several years later, my navels are looking more and more like my Valencia used to look. And I just wonder why. Any idea why that would change?
Lack of nutrients. Takes a lot of nutrients to build up that white layer inside the rind. I know the proper term. I may not pronounce it correctly. The albumen. And I think it's a lack of phosphorus primarily that causes a depletion of that.
Okay.
So I would suggest more feeding for your tree. And there's nothing wrong with juicing navel oranges. They're wonderful. They don't get quite as much juice as you do from a Valencia. But ideally, you would have both, so you have them all year round because they produce in different seasons.
Well, that was good until I had to take the navel out. So... Or not today with the Valencia. So okay, so I need to. I thought I was fertilizing it pretty good, but I'll have to check. I'm using a citrus fertilizer that comes in a bag, and I put it on. Oh, I have a schedule somewhere that tells me in this month do the fertilizing and stuff like that. So,
just make sure as the tree gets older that you increase the diameter, the fetch that you're feeding, because those roots keep moving out.
Part of the problem with that is that it's like it's between two houses, and so it's just about 3 feet from the fence, and so I'm sure, assuming never the roots are on the other side of the fence, I can't get to those water or feed them, so I have to feed them, but I feed them out near the drip line and beyond a little bit, and then, of course, the other side is up against the house, so can't go too far that way either. Okay, well, maybe I'll just try putting more fertilizer on it.
That's probably where I would start.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have to wait till next season to see, because it's all finished. I had a million blossoms on it this last few months. So I'm going to have a lot of fruit next season.
That sounds excellent. And you might take this week's rain, if we actually get the rain that is forecast, to toss a little bit of fertilizer over the fence and feed the roots on the other side as well and let the rain water it in.
Yeah, that's a thought. I'll try that.
Okay. All right, Art, you have a great week, and thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Take care. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Speaking of citrus, now that the weather's starting to warm up, everybody's favorite citrus pest is going to start showing up, especially on the new growth.
Which one is that, Mr. Anderson?
The citrus leaf miner.
That is not my favorite pest.
Well,
I see. No, citrus leaf miner, its time is coming.
Yeah, it is.
And we did get in some pheromone attractants. So if you want to know when... Oh, actually, hold on. Never mind. Take that back. We've already had those pheromone attractants. We'll talk about the other pheromone attractants momentarily. But if you put out the pheromone attractants with the sticky traps, it will not only take many of the males out of the process and minimize the damage to your trees, but it also tells you when they're there so that you can start treating with the spinosad, the Captain Jacks, if you want to do it. That's probably the best way to control it and keep your trees looking good. But these next couple of weeks is when they usually show up.
Yeah, and if it's not too bad of an infestation, you can pick some of the foliage off and throw it away, and that will get rid of the bugs. But if it's a bad infestation, the trees will. It's not gonna kill them, but it really slows them down, and they do look bad. So I need to go.
Which way are you gonna do it?
I've just got the spinosad at home. I'm just gonna go out and give them a shot and get started on it early.
You know what I'm gonna do?
No,
I'm gonna pretend like I'm gonna go treat them this year, and probably and won't.
Probably
again.
Not do it. Yeah,
spinosad sitting on the shelf. I still have not done it. We'll see. Maybe this year, because it makes the trees look so darn bad.
Yeah, it does look bad.
And that reflects poorly on a horticulturalist such as myself, right?
Yeah. My navel orange right now is just, it's almost white with flowers. It's incredible how many flowers it has on it. And I'm sure it's going to set a ton of fruit, and I'm going to redouble my efforts to make sure that it gets water, because it's in a container. And
that's a really good idea, Mr. Anderson.
And if they set fruit in containers and they don't get enough water, the first thing that goes is the fruit. It just falls off.
And that's kind of the reason you're growing them, right?
Mostly, yeah.
Do you think right now George is sitting at home listening, thinking, you know, you just said the trees are blooming. You just said spinosad. Are they going to mention that you have to make sure you don't spray the spinosad when the bees are there? Do you think he's saying that right now?
Probably.
I can't believe he hasn't texted me yet. But spinosad is mildly toxic to bees when it is wet.
Yeah.
So if you do need to spray while there are flowers on there, spray in the evening so it's dried before the bees come back.
Yeah, quite frankly, I don't think there's any insecticide that is not in some way toxic to bees. I mean, they're insects, and you're spraying an insecticide. It's probably going to It's probably not something that they're going to want to get into. So just be aware of
be aware
of the timing of your applications and what it is that you're doing. Some things are safer than others, like horticultural oil. You would have to actually spray the bees with it for it to be a problem. But there again, just spray in the evenings, and you will minimize the impact that has on the bee populations.
What I was thinking, what I was mixing up before, is there's now a pheromone attractant for the Asian citrus psyllid. So you can put those out so that you would know if you need to treat for Asian citrus psyllid. It would make it easier to spot because they're so small on the...
Yeah, they're tiny.
They're hard to spot. So that would help to identify that they exist and know that you need to take measures to do something. Control.
That makes perfect sense. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. Mark and George are off today. A couple other things that we've seen popping up. One of back to citrus again. That beetle. I still don't know which one it is, but it's the beetle that attacks white flowers.
I've never seen that on citrus, and I don't know if it's because I've never looked. But when you showed me that was what Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'd never even considered it on citrus, and duh, all the citrus flowers are white.
Yeah, and she said hers were covered with them. So, and she said she had no bee activity either, and she was thinking that it might. But, you know, if the beetle's going through and eating the flowers, then there's no reason for the bees to go.
Oh, the bees will. But if you can see the flowers.
Yeah, well. I don't know. But anyway, so the white flower beetle, which now apparently attacks citrus, and usually it's on roses that we see it.
That's, yes. And we did have a couple of people bring them in yesterday on roses as well. But they get on the white flowers. They're not a huge problem generally other than a physical damage. But I guess if they're destroying all your citrus flowers. But there's so many flowers on citrus, usually. So many more.
Yeah.
You know what's blooming even more impressively at my house than my citrus?
No.
Macadamia.
Oh, really?
There are thousands of catkins on that tree, and the fragrance overpowers the citrus. There's so much more.
I knew they were fragrant. I didn't realize they were that fragrant.
It is crazy how fragrant they are and how many bloom spikes are dripping off of this tree. It's hard to see leaves. There's like a curtain of flower spikes just all over this thing.
Wow.
I'm guessing that might have something to do with rain. And of course, the exceptional care and culture given to them by David.
You know, it has always surprised me, as valuable of a crop as macadamias are, that they aren't grown more in Southern California. Everybody equates macadamias with Hawaii, but they grow perfectly well here in Southern California. Mark had a huge one at his house.
Yes.
In Claremont. And I know my grandfather had at least one in his yard. I had one in my yard when I lived in Claremont, and that thing would produce like a half a bag of a big brown paper grocery bag. It would produce about half a bag of nuts every season.
Mine produces many, many, many tens of pounds of nuts every year. I probably get about a half a pound of nuts every year, and the squirrels
and
get the
squirrels
rest.
Get the rest, which amazes me that they can chew through that shell as hard as that is.
They start early. They start when they're green, but they still eat through them when they're solid. It's something I'm going to have to address this year. I've decided to start taking back my property from the gophers, and it's also time to start taking it back from the squirrels as well.
Yeah, I don't have a squirrel. I don't actually. Our biggest issue from time to time is rats, but even they have not been as bad as they have been in the past. Although I did have a bobcat in the backyard the other day.
That should take care of the rats for you if it's a bobcat worth its salt.
Connor, it looked like an immature one. It wasn't very big, but it walked right past our back door.
So, did you see it or see it on video?
Camera.
After, yeah, okay.
Camera. Yeah, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't up. And, you know, the other thing that we don't have, and it's been months since I've seen one, and we used to have them all the time, was rabbits. We do not have a rabbit problem right now.
I have a few fewer than I used to have, but there's still plenty out at my house. And this morning when I went down with my flashlight to open up the chickens and throw out their food and let them out, there was the smell of skunk. That it had sprayed, but it was near.
Something was around.
Yes, it was close. And fortunately, it did not. I was thinking I was going to have to call you because I go and pull grass to feed to throw into the chicken coop. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking where I was going, it could be under something and that I was going to get sprayed. And I was thinking I was going to call you this morning and say, I don't think I'm going to make it. But it all worked out, and I did not get sprayed.
A couple interesting things that we've got in the store right now. In addition to plumeria cuttings, we have quite a few rooted plumerias in containers, from 1 gallons up to 5 gallons. I think was the
we got them in this week. They're just starting. Everything's behind. We've had so much overcast and cool weather. All the warm season things are. We would normally have these about a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but we got a good selection of them now. The other thing we have a good selection of is milkweeds, both native and tropical, from 4-inch up to it's bigger than a gallon. The narrow leaf
inch,
ones,
eight inch, I think.
Yeah,
and those are part of that SDG&E rebate program, correct?
That is correct. Yes, we've actually had quite a few people come in and buy them because of the rebate program. But I think that the rebate program is for 1 gallon narrow leaf.
They're specific. There's a list on SDG&E's website. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, there's going to be an article in the May Walter Anderson Nursery newsletter with a hyperlink to the list, because there's specific trees, including two of the 5 trees that you can qualify for can be fruit trees. And I keep saying I'm going to participate because I keep buying the fruit trees, but I keep not sending in the
rebate form.
Yes.
Yeah, that new. If you're a subscriber to our newsletter, you should be getting it today or tomorrow. I think
early.
It might be coming out a little bit early, but I would imagine if you go to the website and you click on the newsletter tab, that Melanie has already posted it on the website. So.
That is a very bold prediction.
I hope, if not,
it'll be there in the next couple of days. But the program provides, I think, a $35 rebate for a 1 gallon and $50 or something for a larger size. And they don't have to go in the ground. They can go into containers. There's a whole set of criteria that must be met. But they will send you money as long as the program still has it. There's certain zip codes and certain trees and shrubs that you can plant. And SDG&E will pay you to do that. I guess we will pay you. All of us will pay you to do that.
Another interesting thing that I saw come through the store today or this week that I had not seen in a while was foxgloves in bloom.
I love that. That is such a great morning sun, filtered sun blooming plant. And because the spikes are so long, they bloom for a really long time. Yeah.
And they're also they're biennials, so you have to grow them for 2 years to get the flowers on them. So when we get them in stock with the flowers on them, you can save yourself about a year.
Do we have any classes coming up?
Yes, we do. in San Diego, 9 o'clock today. It's Bonsai Basics with Richard, 9:30 in Poway. Fertilizer Basics with Richard Wright. And then starting Monday, we are into May.
That is... And we're going to have some more May showers that are going to bring April flowers. Is that how it goes?
I can't remember which direction it goes. But you've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk right here next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.